So, good afternoon. Now, we're doing pretty well. The clouds have moved in and taken off some of that hot sun so that we can get a little cooler breeze. I don't know if you can smell it here, but I have a nice pine needle smell coming on my breeze right here. And hopefully you'll get to share some of that too as well. Especially after the services today when we gather around the grill where Mr. Chef Elias is going to cook us up some tremendous food. We're looking forward to that. So, in the business world, organizations need to focus the energies of their employees to protect and excel the long-term health of the organization and set it apart in the community it serves. One of the most popular ways to do this is to develop a vision statement. Many of you are familiar with this term. It's not to be confused with a mission statement, which highlights the core functions of the organization. A properly developed vision statement has a number of elements. First, it paints a future picture of what the business should achieve and look like 5 years from now. The wording should be a future tense painting, a word picture that shows the goal. It should be written so that it inspires people, meaning the vision should be a dramatic change from the today's state that inspires the heart to want to jump on board and inspire the community to support it. Here's a few examples for you. IKEA's vision statement is to create a better everyday life for many people. Nike's vision statement is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. That's every athlete. So that's quite a broad statement that they have. Toyota's vision statement is to lead the future mobility society, enriching lives around the world with the safest and most responsible way of motivating people. That's a pretty broad vision statement for Toyota. They're saying they're not in the business to just make cars. Some kind of mobility, how they can come up with responsible ways for moving people around the world, everybody. So that's quite a broad statement they have. In my career, my former career as a lean manufacturing and transformation manager, I coached companies in developing this statement when needed. Recently, Marianne needed me to help her develop one for her Autistic Birth to Three organization here in Connecticut. It needed to inspire the employees, the parents, and support groups and the community to jump on board as the organization was adding hundreds of new children needing their services and support. Here's the statement that her organization developed. Leveraging 21st century techniques and science, setting the family's foundation for lifelong learning. In identifying a place in the future that this organization wants to be in, which is what this vision statement does, they had to create a 5-point strategic plan underneath the vision statement to achieve it and close the gap between today's situation and where they want to be going forward. Vision statements like this are man's rough attempt to emulate godly leadership. God himself is the master of vision statements. He always gives us an idea of what's going to happen in the future. So let's look at this one verse and its different translations so we can see how he intends for the vision process to work. Let's turn to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And here he maps out the entire concept of giving a vision statement. Proverbs 29:18. In the King James translation, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The English Standard Version translates this verse as, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The amplified version, which I think is kind of maps out a little more directly here, it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, and fortunate, and viable is he. You see, the scripture is saying that you must have the hope of God's revelation in you to keep and live the law. I think we can emphasize that revelations, as is being used here in this verse, comes in two different forms. One is the written form that we have in front of us, our Bibles, which is telling us, God's word is telling us what his vision is and what his prophecy is and what his revelations are. The other form is that second form, being a personal inspiration and leadership by the Holy Spirit inside and dwelling in each of us. God gives us revelation as we apply ourselves to his word and living his way every day if we listen for it. So here's an example. I'm going to give you an example of what happens when you lose sight of prophecy or of our future, of revelation of knowing God or living God's way. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 15, and we'll go over a period of time in the nation of Israel where they lost their way for a short period of time. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 through 5. Helps me looking at chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa, and said to him, hear me, Asa, King Asa, that is, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And verse 3 here is, I think, a good point. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. Can you think that our country and the world has been without the true God, without sound teaching, and without the law? Verse 4, but when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. Verse 5, and in those times, and this is the consequence, in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor the one who came in. And what they mean by coming out and going in is for the leaders. They're talking about the leaders who come in and go out before the people. That terminology is talking about the leaders in the Old Testament times. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. And I think that can be a good example of what we're seeing in our country right now. Great turmoil. So nation was destroyed by nation, city by city, for God troubled them with adversity. If you just watch the news for the last 2 months, it sounds like it came right out of this scripture. This does seem to depict the state of our nation today, doesn't it? Without prophecy, people can't see an enticing and fruitful end to their labors. But with prophecy, and then keeping the commandments, they find that it's worth it. It's worth being disciplined. It's worth following God's word and living God's way. The vision of prophecy focuses our energies and efforts to keep the word of God and live by it, emanating from our hearts as ambassadors to this future kingdom that's coming. The kingdom of God, our future government. This Sabbath is the UCG Hartford, Connecticut's 6-year anniversary. UCG Hartford was a vision of Howard Davis and Roger Sandsmark. Here's what Howard Davis was thinking at that time as I was with him when he was here. Being led by the Spirit, he felt that keeping weekly Sabbath services here in Hartford would draw people and provide a framework for growth. He particularly liked the Quaker Hall and its kitchen and the serving area. His vision was a consistent framework would be used by God to start a congregation in the area that had no UCG at that time. There was a congregation of the Northeast Church that was here, which is not associated with UCG, and with doctrines similar to ours, but not 100% compatible. Visionaries from that congregation were Roger and Louisa Sansmar. And Lynn Redling, some of us remember Lynn, all three of them joined our congregation. It took great courage for them to join, as they had many years of relationship with that former church. That church has since dissolved through its sincere efforts were made to try to bridge the differences. Roger Sansmark's vision was of integrating the two congregations, and both him and Howard Davis worked that, but the traditional practices of that old church were in conflict for UCG, so it never came about. But Roger and Louisa have been visionaries. They've been supporting the efforts, and some of you were involved in this, of finding a Hartford meeting hall to purchase. We actually went out and looked at some halls. To stand up a new United Church of God feast site in Mystic, Connecticut. And also to identify an alternative COVID-19 UCG feast site temporarily this year in Newport, Rhode Island. Now, none of these have come to fruition, but they've been working on this in the background. Roger and Louisa are continuing to use their vision that God inspires them with to try to grow this congregation. They're all works in progress by God's will. God decides and makes all of these things reality. We in God's church envision prophecy as our future hope. And remember, I said that this is man's poor attempt of trying to bring about something that God does. Let's turn to Colossians 1:26, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. We being in God's church have a special knowledge. Colossians 1:26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. I'm going to highlight a few points of the written prophetic vision of the coming kingdom of God. It's very exciting and redemptive, and it is available, or will be available, to all mankind in the future. The kingdom of God was the primary message delivered with Jesus Christ's first coming. So we will start talking about the kingdom of God here, the first 1,000 years of the coming kingdom of God. And we know through prophecy that after 1,000 years that there's more to come with the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. Things will change even more dramatically after. But I'm just going to talk about the coming kingdom of God and what we can anticipate experiencing from it. First, it's healing. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk, and the dumb will sing. Do we know anybody that fits in those categories that would be very excited in the kingdom? There'll be streams of water in the desert, and there'll be a highway of holiness too. Turn with me to Isaiah 35. And we'll start to go through a short review here of what will actually get our minds thinking a little bit about the feast that's coming this fall. Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 8. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb will sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. This scripture begins to paint a hopeful word picture of the future of mankind. it gets more expansive. The moon and the sun will be changed to make crops grow 7 times faster. Just flip back a few pages here on Isaiah 30 and turn to verse 26. Imagine planting something on Monday morning and then harvesting it on Friday afternoon. Imagine how fast things will grow and the healing that will happen on this planet. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. The condition we've been living in, the earth as it is now, and the way the crops and all the agriculture behave now, will be changed. That's not the only thing that will be changed. Animals, wild animals, will be changed as well. They'll be changed to tame, and they will eat straw instead of each other. Isaiah 11:6, please. Still in Isaiah. I think that change will shock quite a few people, along with being able to just plant crops, have your own grapevine, have your own cornfield that grows with just a little bit of work of your hands. You'll also have new pets. Isaiah 11:6. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The little child will have new pets. Lots of them. Not only will the animals' natures change as a result of the coming kingdom, there'll be a healing of the earth, Zechariah 14, verse 8. The earth will be healed in many ways, but there's something that we will see in Zechariah 14, 8, that in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. In both summer and winter it will occur. So it will be the waters will be running all year round to heal the earth. And that water will be doing what Psalm 107:35 says. In Psalm 107:35, it says, he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. And then back to Isaiah 41. And verse 18. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. The deserts will go away. Healthy vegetation and growth will happen throughout the whole planet, all around us. The animals, the sun, the moon, the weather, things will improve dramatically. What else will improve? Well, we look around today and we talk about how people can find justice. How can people find that they're being treated fairly? How can we make sure that there isn't any discrimination? Truth and justice will reign. Isaiah 9:6. This is a very famous scripture. And it will reign from Jerusalem. Isaiah 9:6 is talking about our soon coming king and high priest and powerful son of God. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, everybody in the planet will be looking at Jesus Christ and the miraculous improvements they're seeing on the planet and want to be part of it. This is a vision statement on steroids. This is a place where you can go to really get excited. The world is going to change dramatically. And you're going to look at Jerusalem and say, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, come to my country. Come to my little hut. Come to my home. Zechariah 8, verse 3. A little scripture jump in here, but they're getting a good understanding here of what God is putting in place for us. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Then I'll read you. You can just, you know, write down this scripture. I'll read it to you. Isaiah 4, 5 through 6. Isaiah 4, 5 through 6. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and shining a flaming fire by night. Do you remember that? When they came out of Egypt, the Israel, nation of Israel, they were guided by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. For over all, the glory will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from the storm and rain. So, healing, justice, truth will come out of Jerusalem for all peoples on the planet, and excitement too, I think. And people's hearts and people's minds will be healed, Revelation 7:17. People's hearts and their minds will be healed. How many of us have broken hearts now? How many of us have gone through a lot of pain and suffering by the way the society lives today? How many of us have tried to make our way in this world today and have found it to be empty? And constantly are relying on God to help us and bring us through. How many of us have struggled and suffered and mourned? People's hearts and minds will be healed, Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He'll fix us. Food will be abundant. And waterways will heal all, Ezekiel 47:9. Because the agriculture and the living of this earth will change, there'll be life everywhere we go. Ezekiel 47:9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a great, very great multitude of fish. I hope we like fish. I do. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Food will be abundant. And all people will know God, Jeremiah 31:34. We won't have to explain everything to everybody all the time. We won't have to live in our own little world thinking that no one understands us. Everybody's running the wrong way. We don't have to constantly be setting the example for everybody because everybody's going the wrong way. Everybody's thinking the wrong way. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And in Hebrews 8:11, it says about the same thing. And I'll read it to you, Hebrews 8:11. "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." Everybody will know. Will know God. I mean, it should be very easy to understand when you look and see all the healing coming out of Jerusalem, how the whole entire planet has been changed, and there's life at every turn, that you can walk out your back door and plant a grapevine and plant corn and be able to eat from it in a week or two. That's amazing. Plant wheat, everything grows very quickly, and then you can have your own pet lion, your own pet wolf, and you can name them whatever you'd like to name them. It will be very exciting. So, all the people will know God, and the mountains will be brought low to make more farmland. Isaiah 41, verses 15 through 16. There's other scriptures. I've just picked a few here. There's more that talk about what will change on the planet. I believe some of the seas and oceans will be changed. People will be making highways through them between the different continents. Things will change. But here God's talking about the mountains. Isaiah 41, 15 through 16. It says, "Behold, I will make you into a threshing sledge with sharp teeth. And you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord." And then, obviously, you'll have a lot more space to plant all this food for the millions and billions of people that will be on the planet at that time. We won't have the situation that we now have in Africa, where it's very hard to plant things and make them grow. We have starvation going on in different parts of the world. Out in Sudan, in different areas around the world, we have a large problem planting food and being able to eat it. That problem will go away. These are just some of the changes that will be coming to the people and our planet with the coming kingdom of God. After reading these, don't you just want to start living God's way now? In the hope of the future that's coming, preparing ourselves to live in the kingdom of God, let's get closer to the kingdom of God. Let's start living like that. Let's let this hope inspire us, realizing that all the things we're seeing now that we kind of mourn over and sigh over are going to go away. Been a lot of moaning and sighing, by the way, watching what's been going on. So I have two things that I'd like for you to remember about this entire message. First, vision statements provide hope and purpose to our daily efforts. And that your prayers that you make every day are your little vision statements of where you want things to be in the future. You're asking God to help. And I'll just very quickly list you some of the things here that God says about your prayers. In 1 John 5:14, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And in Mark 11:22 through 25 is the mountain one. "I say to you, whoever says this to this mountain," this is Jesus speaking to, "be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he has said will be done, he will have whatever he asks for, whatever he says. You have to believe that you're going to receive them, is what Jesus is saying here. And then in James 5, 13 through 18, it says, have a prayer of faith to raise them up. Anoint them with oil. Have the elders anoint and pray with faith and confess your trespasses and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Prayer helps our faith grow and heals us as we take the very important first steps on the stairway to the kingdom of God. The United Church of God in Hartford was started on the blessing of God and a vision of a minister of God. You can see the growth and the love that God has shown this small little congregation in Hartford, and all the healing that was that God did through the members as we prayed for each other. The second thing I'd like you to remember is the UCG vision statement. And it says, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by whatever every member supplies, and with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. Now that's our vision for this church, for us. That's Ephesians 4:16 and Hebrews 2:10. So my prayer is that we, as a congregation, can keep focused on our shared future together in loving each other, loving God, and living God's way. Doing that makes our future very bright.